Now we have a very special pleasure this morning. Shana is going to introduce our speaker.
Hello, everyone. It is so wonderful to be with you here today and to introduce my dear husband, Ananda. Ananda, in his 64 years, has lived a life, as many of us, filled with the elements of the hero's journey and the heroine's journey. Despair, courage, faith, and miracles. It's led him out of separation into a sense of connectedness with wonder and joy that has been my great privilege to witness. It is a joy sharing my journey with Ananda. He recently published a book called Here for the Joy. And today, Ananda is going to share with you a bit of that tale, filled with inspiration and reason for hope. It is without further ado that I share with you my husband, Ananda.
Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I had my first darshan with Amma, the hugging saint. She's come here often to Santa Fe, in Marlborough, Massachusetts, in July 2007. And one of the things that got me ready to meet Amma was Sweat Lodge. This Native American ceremony is an intense and powerful rite of purification, as many of you may know, where rocks are heated up, red hot, and brought into a small wigwam, a hut made of saplings and covered with blankets. Water is poured on the rocks, and in the steam, in this small space, one prays for one's negative vasanas, one's negative qualities to be removed, and sings to God for healing for hours in complete darkness and sometimes near unbearable heat. I was taught how to conduct this ceremony in 1997, and actually my teacher's teacher was a man named Felipe Ortega, and he lived in La Madera, only about 50 miles north of here. He was my teacher's teacher. And for the next 10 years, I offered lodge to anyone in my community free of charge every month. This was my first experience of the power and possibility of seva, of selfless service, tirelessly sharing what brought me joy in a way that brought others healing, happiness, and fulfillment. In lodge, I also learned of the lie of the eye, the lies our eyes tell us when they trick us with objects we desire, people we want, things we are averse to. And also the lie of I, me, as a separate entity, isolated and alone. Lodge teaches us to see with our hearts and to recognize that everything is one. And this is also what Amma teaches. And Lodge prepared me to better hear her teachings, to be able to take them in and be healed by them. As Amma says, today our eyes are blinded by the cataract of ignorance. We are unable to perceive the guru within us. We should perform surgery on our eyes and make them see the light of knowledge. It is the attitude of discipleship, the attitude of surrender, that aids us in achieving this end. Lodge also represents the earth, and in learning to revere her, I was also being prepared to adore Amma, Jagatambe, mother of the world. And it's no coincidence that my first month pouring water in Lodge in May of 1997 is also my sobriety date, the date I first started attending 12-step meetings for my alcoholism. Until I was sober and understood just a little of humility, compassion, and gratitude, how would I be able to truly see my Amma? This journey into deeper humility, compassion, and gratitude through Amma's grace is what I would like to talk about today. I received my first hug and my mantra on my first night with Amma in the summer of 2007. As she said in a talk earlier that day, your mantra is your telephone to God. Why waste your time on a cell phone when your mantra gives you a much better connection? I knew I was going to be calling Mom a lot from then on, and she had given me the best calling plan on the planet. For the next few years, I did my mantra hundreds of times a day. It always brought me peace and gave me the feeling that Amma was right there with me. However, another addiction still accompanied me that put everything and everyone I loved at risk. I met my wife, Ishana, in 2012, and she seemed perfect except for never having met Amma. This was the test. Gurus aren't for everybody, but it wasn't going to work if she wasn't also a devotee. I wasn't going to say this, of course. I mean, how would that sound? But I gently suggested she go to see Amma in July of 2012 when she would be in New England. I shouldn't have worried. Ishana immediately signed up for the 5-day program held at a convention center in central Massachusetts and was happy to sleep in her car so as to be able to afford it. She was already going past me. I had never stayed at the program for more than a day. That first night, Amma came to Ishana in a dream. Amma joined her and some others seated on the floor of a dark room. As soon as she had taken her seat, Amma announced, "Now it can begin." Ishana had no idea what this meant. However, a longtime Indian devotee explained, "Oh, that means Amma wants you to start a satsang, a community of fellow devotees." I had been going to see Amma for 5 years. She never invited me to start a satsang. I joined Amma at the program the following day, and it occurred to me that Ishana and I should purchase rings to commemorate this event. Not wedding rings, of course. We had only known each other for 6 weeks. But I felt we needed some talisman to mark this new deepening of our connection. We found identical rings inscribed with Amma's mantra and went together for our hug. Amma threw rose petals over us and laughed uproariously. What was so funny? We exchanged rings right after that. A friend of mine, a longtime Amma devotee, came up to me later. "I saw Amma shower you two with rose petals. That's what she does when she marries people." 2 years later, Ishana and I were legally married, and with Amma's blessing, we started hosting a satsang in our home. We've hosted satsang every month since, and the satsang started also in Amma's kitchen in our hometown 3 years ago, making meals for the homeless shelter. However, even though our marriage was happy and our satsang was growing, so was my addiction. No matter how much therapy or 12-step work or Amma satsang, this deeper disease continued to stalk me, threatening to explode my life. Where would I find healing for this secret torment and shame? Have you heard the story of Amma and Dhaton the leper? Dhaton's leprosy was so extensive that his smell became unbearable to anyone coming within 20 or 30 yards of him. Even other lepers shunned him. Dhaton heard about Amma, the saint who saw herself as everyone's mother. Surely such a one would not turn him away. But when Dhaton arrived at the ashram, people were horrified and tried to get rid of him. Soon there was yelling and shouting and uproar. Amma went to see what was wrong. Her devotees told her of this man who had come to befoul the ashram. Surely she would make him see that he was not welcome. "All who come here are my children," responded Amma. "Bring him to me." The devotees reluctantly formed an opening in their throng and pointed Dhaton to Amma. Upon seeing him, her eyes welled with tears. She opened her arms. "Oh, my poor child," she murmured, embracing him. "Come with me." Amma then led Dhaton to the main temple. She proceeded to lick Dhaton's pus-dripping sores with her tongue. This procedure continued for hours and was captured on film in the clip, which can be seen on YouTube. We watch as this tiny woman licks a much smaller man all over his body, much as a mother cat would bathe a kitten. While leprosy is not highly contagious, like AIDS, it is spread through bodily fluids. If a person wanted to contract leprosy, Amma was providing an excellent demonstration of how this could be done. However, after several sessions, not only did Amma not get sick, but Dotton was completely healed. A picture of him taken sometime after the event shows the deep pockmarks all over his face, but what catches one's attention are his eyes. There is an expression there of such depth, such compassion, such gratitude and peace. This is a man who knows how much God loves him. Is this kind of healing possible for us? In 2017, when Amma came to Massachusetts, I went up for my annual hug. Usually, Amma only holds people for a few seconds. However, when my turn came, she drew me into her emerald sari and held on. She murmured in my ear for a moment and then continued her multiple conversations, giving mantras, answering logistical questions from her swamis, talking with devotees, but she did not let me go. For what felt like minutes, all motion in the great hall ceased as I was drawn deeper and deeper into her rose-infused embrace. I had been getting hugs from Amma for years, but this single one extended beyond all the others combined. What Amma knew, that no one else besides me knew, was that I was struggling with sex and love addiction. And still Amma loved me. She did not push me away. Although stopping drinking 20 years before had greatly limited this disease, it had been the deeper cause of both my previous marriages failing and was on the brink of destroying my marriage to Ishana. I knew that while Amma held me, she knew everything about me, knew of my devotion and my lapses, my shame. And she continued to hold me. I knew that every once in a while she would give a particular devotee a hug like this, and I'd always wondered why. Why had she chosen that specific person for a hug that hung in time, thousands of devotees suspended around her? I thought of Dotton the leper, that remarkable day when he was the focus of her attention. And now it was me. A couple of weeks later, my surrender began. First, I started therapy for my sex and love addiction, and my therapist immediately told me I needed to come clean with Ishana. These kinds of secrets rot relationships out from the inside, he said. A month later, I got up the courage to let down my defenses and tell my wife. She was angry, of course. But she also knew of my struggles with depression and addiction, how these diseases had deep roots in my family of origin. She also told me that she had sensed that something was wrong and had been fervently praying to Amma for my healing. We both agreed I needed to talk to my sponsor, who told me that I needed to join a 12-step program for sex and love addiction. This was the third surrender, admitting my disease in front of strangers. That was over 5 years ago, and I have not acted out since. Many spiritual traditions talk about the need for complete surrender in order to fully experience God's love. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says we must become as suckling infants if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven. In the Lakota Humblechia, literally crying for a vision, participants will climb the sacred mountain on their knees, actually weeping, saying over and over again that they are hungry, powerless, desperate. Rumi, in the poem Love Dogs, advises his readers to become like that neighbor's dog howling for his absent master. That cry is the connection. And this is what Amma's lead Swami has recommended in his talks. Every year he describes how he begins each day like a little child, crying out, Ma, Ma, Ma. And I remember thinking every time he said that, that's ridiculous. I'm a grown man. There's no way I'm going to pray like that. But grown man or not, 2017 found me in the room of another 12-step program, pressed up against the behavior of the previous 40 years, which again and again had brought me to the brink of suicide, wrecked my marriages, and showed no signs of abating. In recovery, they call this the gift of desperation, the bottom, the place where you were brought to your knees. Surrender is the only option. And for me, that surrender is to the Divine Mother, Amma, praying just as her Swami advised, Ma, Ma, Ma. Such surrender stops thought. As Amma says, you will find the medicine for your disease in the spaces between your thoughts. Healing could only come when my mind was quiet, because only then could I experience the beauty and love of my own true nature. I could only feel this love that allowed me to feel that I too was beautiful, to feel the truth of Aham Brahma Asmi, I am Brahma, when I surrendered completely. The love of God, the joy I feel in the presence of Amma or repeating her mantra is not momentary, and nor does it cost anything. Surrendering into this love, this joy, I am kinder to everyone. And best of all, this joy resides at the center of my own heart. What obscured this joy in me was shame. Shame resulting from generations of abuse. Such abuse passed unthinkingly from parent to child across countless decades, accumulates and metastasizes like a disease. Such painful feelings of humiliation caused by the feeling that something is wrong with me move like an anaerobic bacteria thriving in darkness and secrecy. And in this way, shame compounds itself. The feelings are so humiliating that one doesn't voice them, bring them to the light, where they can be healed by love and compassion. And this is why the story of Amma and Dotan the leper moves me so much. We don't have leprosy in the West. We have toxic shame, the self-loathing that make us feel like lepers. And addiction is an advanced form of this modern disease, driving the sufferer to engage in increasingly shameful behavior, spreading his sickness to everyone he touches. After Amma's long hug, within days I went into therapy for my sex addiction. Within weeks I found the courage to tell my wife. Within months I joined a 12-step program for sex addicts, went to meetings every week, got a sponsor, have been sober ever since. In this new sobriety, my life has changed dramatically. I feel so much more peace, so much more joy. Shame no longer stalks me. I am not constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. Moreover, because my creative energy is not being wasted in addictive obsession and behavior, it can now build up and express itself in positive ways. Over the past 3 years, I have broken through a decades-long writer's block to write and publish a spiritual memoir about the healing journey I have been on with Amma, Here for the Joy. And this title, Here for the Joy, is also the place Amma brought me to, the realization that joy is my natural state when I am finally able to quiet my mind and feel what I truly am. And even more amazing, what I am, what everyone is hidden in Amma's name. Amma, Amma, I am Ma. We are all her. Not in vastness or power, certainly, not yet, but in her qualities of kindness, gentleness, love, and peace. This is why she draws people so strongly, fills them with so much joy. Something in us knows that she is shining what we really are. Those qualities that her devotees adore her for, follow her halfway around the world for, are our natural state. Amma has taught me that what I most long for is what I already am. This new sobriety has also blessed our marriage. Ishana and I moved through a transformational counseling process and sold our house, no fixed address, and have entered the Vanaprastha Ashrama, devoting ourselves to pilgrimage, prayer, and seva. We were called to her ashram in India by her grace and continue to experience a steadily deepening of love between us, with Amma and with everyone we meet. We are currently traveling around the world to learn what our next assignment from Amma will be. And we suspect it has something to do with Santa Fe. A true guru knows everything about you, everything you are thinking, just like Jesus with the woman at the well, just like Maharaji when he first met Ram Dass. I knew as Amma held me that night in 2017 that she knew exactly what I was struggling with, how deeply it had its hooks in me. And that's why she held me so long. And the proof of her power lies in what happened after. Changes I had been unable to make for decades. And Amma would say, just as Jesus did to those he healed, it was your faith that healed you. So now all my prayer is directed to the Divine Mother, Amma. Now I know that the greater my faith in her, the greater the grace. And what makes this grace so amazing, so amazing, is that it dwells within my own heart. As Amma says, even if we believe in an external God, in actuality, this God is inside of us. It is our own true self. And of course, this journey is nowhere near complete. There is so much to learn from my guru. But how can I ever thank her enough for guiding me, guiding everyone to this place of gratitude, celebration, and joy? I bow down at Amma's lotus feet in astonished gratitude for the grace she so tirelessly showers upon us. Thank you.